This morning we are going to be dealing with a great tragedy that so often happens to individuals. You know, have you ever, and I'm sure that you have, you've heard someone say, well, you know, if things had only been different in my life, if I'd only done this differently, just think about the potential. Just think about where I could be if I would have made this decision instead of that decision. We all have those experiences in some way. Bernard Shaw, the winner of the 1925 Nobel Prize for Literature, was asked before he died, if you could live your life over again and be any person, be anyone that you wanted to be, do anything that you wanted to do, what would it be? And Mr. Shaw replied by saying, I would be the man that George Bernard Shaw could have been, but never was. You think about that. What if? How many of you have regrets? I'm sure that all of us have regrets. I'm sure that all of us do. And I want us to think about that while we go through this lesson. But understand something. Just because things have gone afoul in our life, things are amiss, things are not exactly like we had dreamed that they would have been, let us not dwell on the past. Let us go on and take up from the day and be what we can do from this day, be what we can be from this day forward. Potential is a terrible thing to waste. That's going to be the title of our lesson this morning. Michael read in your hearing 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verses 13 and 14. And interestingly, in this particular text, I want to focus on one particular verse here. Verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which He commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, verse 14, your kingdom shall not continue. You know, if Saul had obeyed God, this verse tells us that Saul, you know, his lineage would have been the kingdom lineage of Judah. He would have been the person that we talk about, instead of David, perhaps. But you know what? He didn't obey God. Just think about what he wasted. Because he made the choice not to obey the Lord. The potential that he had was wasted by his own choice. Now there are some things that we do in life, some decisions that we make in life that are inconsequential to our spiritual well-being. Now, what college we go to or what college we went to, what decisions we made as far as business is concerned, those things might affect my physical, my secular well-being, my financial status in life, but they may not have, although they could, have effect on my spiritual life as well. But those things are not nearly as consequential as those decisions that we make regarding spiritual matters. And we need to understand and remember that. Think about the potential of combined cooperative efforts. Let's start out broad to begin with. Just think, just suppose that every person in this world wanted to serve God and did so. Just think about that. Just think about the potential that we as a human race could have. What about war? Where would war go if every person on this earth obeyed God? If every person on this earth served the Lord, what about some of the problems that we face today in our country? The immoral problems that we face. We wouldn't have any. Just think about that. Just think about the possibility, the potential of this local church. If every member, as Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, did its share. Just think about the potential that we would have. Combined cooperative efforts, when people follow the Lord's will, can be a powerful thing. You don't believe that? The first century proves it. You had 12 men sent out into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they preached that gospel to the entire world in just a few short years. The potential is great. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "We do not need to say anything, for from you the Word of God has sounded abroad." And it is a possibility. We have control over our beliefs, over our attitudes, and over our actions. We have control. So potential, our potential is based upon the choices that we make regarding our beliefs, our attitudes, and our actions. And we thus limit our potential by making wrong choices regarding our belief, regarding our attitudes, and regarding our actions. The word potential in and of itself means that which is possible, something that has the promise to develop and become real. Webster Dictionary. Potential is the existing possibility, but not actuality, inherent capability of doing anything. What is your potential? What prevents us from reaching our full potential? We're going to talk about some of those things this morning. And how can actions yesterday and today limit our potential? Those are some good questions that I think that deserves a little thought this morning. First of all, I want to begin by stating that there are some things that we have limited control over. That's just the way that it is. Our circumstances, you know what, are limited. We have some control, but we do not have all control over our circumstances. You did not determine when or where or to whom you were born. You had no control over that. You had absolutely no control over certain circumstances in your life, things that other people did to you. You may have had absolutely no control over that. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 28, in chapter 39, verses 1 and 20, we read of Joseph. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, Joseph is sold into slavery. You know what? Joseph was a good kid. He was a young man that pleased his father, and his father loved him. But his brothers were jealous of him, so they sold him into slavery. In fact, there in verse 28 of chapter 37, it says, Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. There they sold him as a slave. They sold him into Potiphar's house. Potiphar bought Joseph, and he became Potiphar's servant. Genesis 39 verse 1, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there." But of course, verse 2 is very important. "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." You know what? No matter what our circumstances bring to us that we have no control over, no matter what those circumstances may be, I can still determine who I am. I can determine how I respond. I can determine how I react. And I can determine the person that I will be under those circumstances. That's a good thing to understand. Our environment. We may not have control over our environment. Our environment may be terrible. We may be surrounded by wicked people on our right and on our left, behind us and in front of us, all the way around us, all the way around us, we see evil, wickedness, like Lot. Just like Lot. And it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. But you know what? He didn't allow that to influence him to the point to where he turned and followed in their wicked ways. We may not be able to control our environment, but we can control who we are. We need to be thermostats and not thermometers. No, a thermometer simply tells you what the temperature is. Thermostat controls the temperature. And when it comes to our own life, we need to be people who are in control of ourselves and determining who we are and what we do, how we respond under certain circumstances. our health. We have a limited amount of control over our health. I mean, we can eat the right things. We can exercise. We can do all these things to try to preserve our physical body. One of my best friend. He's a health nut. He takes vitamins every morning. He runs 5 miles a day. He eats all the right foods, watches his carbs and everything. A few years ago, doctors found out he had cancer. Now, he's over it. Lord willing, he'll continue to be in remission, but you never know. There are some things you don't have control over. You may do all the right things, but still, our health is not guaranteed. But you know what? Even when our health turns bad, I can still control who I am. I can control how I respond. I can control my attitude. You know, Patty Jackson, boy, I tell you what a great example she was. Undergoing cancer and still, you know, she was just as uplifting and encouraging as anyone I'd ever been around. There are some folks who, when they become ill, I mean, you just don't want to be around them. And it's not that you don't care for them. It's not that you don't want them to get better. It's that we as human beings do not like to hear people complain and murmur and fuss. We don't enjoy that. So there's a natural response that takes place. But we determine how we respond due to health problems. Our abilities. You know, some folks are just limited in their abilities. I guess instead of some, I guess I should say all. All of us are limited in our abilities. There's some shortcoming that we all have. You know, the Lord blessed us all. Everything that we have is from Him. But the truth of the matter is, He didn't give us all the same thing. He didn't give us all the same thing. Matthew, the 25th chapter. We'll get to that particular text later in the lesson this morning. But the truth of the matter is, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. In other words, you're asked to use what God has blessed you with. You need to be using that and doing that to the best of your ability. But some of us have abilities that are different than others. Some have more, some have less. But we are all to use what we have for the glory of God. We're all to use what we have to the best of our ability. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and the parable of the talents. Our opportunities. You know, we do not all have the same opportunities. We are limited. There are some things that we can control over our opportunities, but there are some things, I mean, we just cannot control. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, there was an opportunity. And God called Philip to go and speak with this man. He had the opportunity. Others did not. We need to realize when opportunities arise and take advantage of them. But we don't have a control. Now, we can do what we can to provide opportunities. We can have some input there. But we're going to be limited. Our past and our future. You know what? There is not one single thing in my past. Not one single thing in my past that I can go back and undo, that I can change. Now, there may be some wrongs that I can right by repenting, confessing, and restoring something that I've taken or something that I've done that's bad. But that's going to be limited in and of itself. But there are many things in my past that I just can't change. And that's true for all of us. We may wish that we could change them, but we can't. And our future. You know what? There are some things that I cannot change about my future. Some things I just cannot change. Like my health, my circumstances, my environment, some of the abilities that I may have. I may come down with a health problem that limits my abilities greatly, and I have absolutely no control over that. My opportunities. I may be limited greatly in some of the things that I can do. So thus my potential is going to be is going to be influenced by that, is going to be affected by that. In fact, these things restrict and determine our potential. And understand this, remember this, God does not expect more of you or me than we can do. Never has and never will. Our judgment will be based on the ability that we have. Matthew chapter 25. We do need to remember that point. But understand, first of all, these things we have no control over, or at least limited control over. But there are some things that we have absolute, complete control over. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. And Daniel, the first chapter and verse 8. There we read of a young man who, again, had been taken captive. He has been brought to Babylon. He is in all intents and purposes a slave. And in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we read of him having purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, we can decide what our purpose in life, as far as from a subjective sense, we decide what is going to be our purpose in life. Now, God has already established a purpose for us. Understand that. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's what we're here for. That is our purpose. But we determine whether we're going to fulfill that purpose or not. We make that decision. Daniel purposed in himself that he would not defile himself with the king's meats. Turn over with me to the book of Acts. Acts 11 chapter, verse 23. In Acts chapter 11, verse 23, let me back up to verse 19. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Purpose of heart. Is that your purpose in life? Is that what you have purposed for yourself? That you are going to serve the Lord? You're not going to defy yourself? And that you're going to continue in the Lord's grace? Continue to be with Him and serve Him? We have that power to decide what our purpose is as far as serving it and meeting it. We decide whether we're going to serve God or not. What about our attitude? In Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 13, the Apostle Paul there says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the Lord and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things. What kind of attitude did the Apostle Paul have? He experienced a lot of different circumstances. He was in a lot of different environments. But yet, he learned under all of those circumstances and in all of those environments, he learned how to be content or satisfied with where he was and have an optimistic attitude that I can do all things in Christ. I can succeed. I can succeed in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have complete control over our attitude. We determine how we view life. And that's what attitude is. It is our perception of the way things are. We can either be negative or we can be positive. We can either have an attitude of faith and hope and love, or we can not. Our values. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Our values. Now, picture a wheel. And the center of the wheel really is representative of our values. Everything that goes on around the center of that wheel is affected by what the center does and what the center is. Our life is that way, and what our values are, that's the center of our life. That's what we revolve around, if you will. Our values. What is important to me? It will affect every aspect of my life. What I place as a priority in my life will affect every other aspect of my life. What are your values? Do you esteem God and His kingdom, the church, above everything else in your life? And does that affect everything that you think and everything that you believe and everything that you do? In John 6 and verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Our values will be what we focus on in life. What are your values? We have complete control over our values. Our purpose, our attitude, and our values will determine whether or not we meet our potential. That's the bottom line. Our purpose. You are not going to meet your potential if you do not purpose to meet your potential. You are not going to meet your potential if you have a rotten attitude. You will not meet your potential if you do not have the right things valued in life. You have to put first things first. And we have complete control over these things. So thus we have complete control over meeting our potential. Our goals. In Philippians 3 and verse 14, back to the book of Philippians, Paul deals a lot with the things that we're talking about this morning. Philippians 3 and verse 14, Paul there says, I press forward or toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What was Paul's goal in life? What was Paul's number one aim in life? What was he aiming for? He was aiming for that upward prize, that wonderful gift of heaven, that wonderful end of the journey, the promised rest that we talked about in our Bible study this morning. That's what he was aiming for. That was his goal. What is your goal in life? Is that your main objective in life? I assure you that if it is not your main objective, you will not reach it. You know, in our life, in our secular life, we may set goals, and we may not be able to achieve those goals, but we set them. And usually we'll set those goals pretty high. Pretty high. Usually higher than what we are actually able to obtain. But you know what? We need to be realistic in setting our goals. We need to do that. We need to understand what's realistic in setting goals. And we're getting to the end of December, starting a new year. We'll all be setting new goals and things for the upcoming year. Here's one thing for certain, absolutely certain. If you set your goals too low, that's as high as you will go. You will not go any higher than the goals that you set for yourself. Spiritually speaking, if you do not set your goal as being heaven, if your goal is not to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if that's not your goal in life, you won't achieve it. You will not achieve it. So you need to set your goal. And you need to work with all of your might to get to that goal. We have complete control over our goals. Now, we may not have complete control over whether or not we reach them. But we set our own goals. Our behavior. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Our behavior. We control how we behave. Now, first of all, in controlling how we behave, it's going to begin in the mind. We have to, as the Apostle Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. And we're familiar with that expression. We've talked about that before. The idea is taken from the actual thing that a person did. When he began to race or run, he would gird up his long flowing robe, and he would gird it up and tie it around his waist so that he could run free. That's what Peter is saying that we do with our mind. We gird it up. We get serious about life, and we get serious about the truth, and we get serious about what we meditate and what we think about, what comes into our mind. We need to get serious about things. Be sober, he says. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, understand something. All of us have behaved badly at one time or another, in one way or another. We've all sinned. So we've all fallen short of our purpose. We've all fallen short in the realm of attitude, I'm sure. Our values at times have not been what they ought to have been. Our goals have not been what they ought to have been. And our behavior, therefore, has not been what it ought to have been either. But thank goodness for the grace of God. We can have the forgiveness of our wrongs, and we can begin today and meet the potential whatever we have left. Now, we might have damaged our potential, our overall potential, because of our sin and our misbehavior. But you know what? We can start anew today. We can start afresh today. We can become a new creature today, and we can start over. And that's what Peter is telling us in this text. From this day forward, you need to live as obedient children. You need to live holy lives. We need to be set apart from the world, sanctified unto the service and the work of God. And that's what holy sanctification has reference to. Our behavior. Our past and our future. You know, we have complete control. I said earlier on the previous chart, we do not have complete control over our past and our future. Well, there are some senses in which that is true, isn't it? But there is also a sense in which we have complete control over both of these things. I control completely how I allow my past to affect me today. I control that completely. I control how I allow my past to affect me today. I control completely my destiny in eternity. That is in my control. Thanks that God has provided the opportunity. He's given me His Word. I can follow it. And I can control my own future. I know where I'm going as long as I'm faithful to the Lord. We have complete control over these things. Philippians chapter 3 again, going back to the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul there, beginning in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. You know, we make the decision who we follow and where we go. We make that decision. In Alice in Wonderland, there's a scene where Alice asks Cheshire Puss, the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat said, "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to go." Then Alice responded, "I don't care much where I go." "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. Isn't that true? My purpose, my attitude, my values, my goals, my behavior, my past and my future. Getting where I want to go. First of all, I have to decide where that's going to be. And I have to strive to get there. But if you don't know where you want to go, if you don't know what your purpose in life and your aim in life is, you don't know where you want your future to be, which way will you go? We need to have a purpose. And we need to know where our future needs to focus on. Is it not possible to change historical events? No, it's not possible to change historical events. Those things have happened. Kenneth J. Lodi, in his book, Tapping Our Potential, on page 14, says, "But it is always possible to change how we respond or perceive them, how we internalize them, and how we allow them to impact our behavior. I can control how my past affects me. And I can control where I go." Benjamin Franklin said, "Although we cannot control what goes on in the world around us, we can always control what happens inside of us." We need to focus on the things that are yet ahead, the things that God has promised. Our view of life, our values and our priorities, our goals and our behavior, our past and our future, our purpose in life, determines whether or not we will achieve our potential. Are we doing all that we can? Where is your purpose? We will all be held accountable for using or not using the abilities God has blessed us with. I want us now to turn, and this is the last point, to Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. I'm not going to read all the text, just make some observations through the text because we're all familiar with this particular story. Verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." He left these servants with a responsibility to oversee his goods. And he provided those men with responsibilities based upon their abilities to perform them. He's done the same thing with you and me. Now the question is, have we lived up to those responsibilities? In a perfect sense, absolutely not. None of us have. So we are all depending upon the grace of God. We're all depending upon His forgiveness. But there is also a sense in which He does expect you to fulfill your responsibilities. And I'm going to assure you of something. Unless you repent, unless you turn back to Him, get forgiveness for your shortcomings, and then do your best to serve Him. Yes, if you stumble, repent. He'll forgive. But still, we need to remember, we are required to do the best we can with what we have. And when we fall short, that is wrong. And we will be held accountable. You know, he goes on down here and he says to the individual, "Then he who had received the 1 talent, verse 24, said, 'Lord, I knew you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'" What did he do with what the Lord gave him? What did he do with the responsibility that he had? "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And in my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable. I do not want to be an unprofitable servant on the day of judgment. I hope that I will continue to strive to reach the potential that I have. Now again, potential is something that has promised to develop and become real for me. Now, that's going to be limited by various things. But I need to strive to serve the Lord with all of my heart, to the best of my ability. And that all begins with my attitude towards Him and purposing to serve Him, the commitment that I make to Him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We are stewards of the Lord. We are to be faithful. What is your purpose in your life? What is your objective? What are you here for? From your perspective, I know what you're here for from God's perspective. You're here to fear Him and keep His commandments. But from your perspective, what is your purpose in life? Is it to put Him first and fear Him? What is your attitude in life? Do you strive to develop the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5? Being humble and reverent? What is your attitude? What are your values in life? Have you put God first in your life? Have you put the gospel and His kingdom number one in your life? Does your life revolve around those things? Is the focus of your life spiritual in nature? Or is it carnal, worldly, fleshly? What are your goals in life? Have you set goals that are spiritual in nature, and are you doing all that you can to reach them? What are your goals in your life? What is your behavior? Are you living a holy life, obedient to the Father? What is your future? No, God has made provision. God has provided for you eternal rest with Him for all eternity in heaven. That has been provided. It's there. It's real. And there will be countless individuals that will be gathered before the throne of God for all eternity. Will you be among them? Will you be there? That's your choice. Will you reach your potential? Of course, the potential primarily getting to heaven. Will you get there? It's up to you. Are you willing to obey Him? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this morning you can come down this aisle and you can let your desires be made known. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you are willing to repent, turn away from your sins, and change your mind regarding sin, if you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as being the Son of the living God, and if you're willing to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, you can come right now. This morning, as we sing this invitation song, you can come down the aisle. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you're not meeting your potential. You're not living as God would have you to live. And right now, if you continue on the road that you're on, you will not reach your potential. Sadly, you will spend eternity in hell because you have forsaken the Lord and turned away from Him. There's something that you need to make right this morning in a public way. You can do that if you need the prayers of the church. Won't you come? You've got to stand and sing.